feel like myself anymore. I'm like a lost key in the kitchen drawer, just waiting for someone to show me to the door. But onwards and upwards, baby.
Hey up, my name's Ben, and welcome back to File 41 of the YYY Files. This is the B-side, so go back and listen to the A-side if you haven't heard the first half of this interview with Daniel Buxton. And if you did listen to the first half, you know that we didn't even get to finish the first half, so we'll see whether we get it all done in this part or not. But I really enjoyed talking to Dan. The first half, I think I said in the last pod, was more akin to what I expected the pod to be when I first launched it. Not that I'm complaining at all. But yeah, just going back through old relatable memories, I think is great, and hopefully you guys related to them too. In the B-side, they're going to be more of his individual, unique memories, and I think they're really good. There's three that we picked out, and we go at them in a bit more in-depth than we did the first time around, and I'm really glad we did so. I think it's a great listen. Don't forget, you can be on the show just like Dan by heading to theyyyfiles.com or getting contacts on social media at theyyyfiles or send an email to theyyyfiles@mail.com. All those links are in the podcast description. Let's jump back in and pick up where we left off. Hey up, and welcome back to File 41, in which we're talking to Dan. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you, man.
Good man, okay? Good man. I am. It's been a week since we last spoke properly. Sometimes in this podcast we sort of just have a little break and jump back into the second half, but after all the memories we went through in the first half, I felt like a break was a good idea. You've had a week's break to reflect on all the things you talked about, and of course we had a Stoke win in between that, so that was nice.
Oh yeah, it's always nice to get 3 points on the board, especially at the minute.
Well, I was going to say, because that was what, the first win in 10, I think there was second win in 15, 14.
Yeah.
Well, oh. Nice to be back to winning ways. Nice that we've reset the ticker and got the first win of 2021. But of course, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about you and your Stoke experience. And we'll start, obviously, the way that we do in this new format of having a break, by getting your answer to the break question. So, I had to rewrite my break question in the first half, but I thought it was a good one in the end. So what I asked you was, of all the memories that we talked about in the first half, and if you listening haven't listened to the first half, go back and listen to it first, because otherwise this ain't going to make any sense. So I asked you, of all the memories that you talked about in the first half, I said you can relive one, rewrite one, and erase one memory. Which ones are you going to go for?
Right, so I'm going to relive the Bolton FA Cup semi-final.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It's nigh on perfect day, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was literally nothing. Nothing wrong at all. The performance, the day, even the weather.
Everything. It was lovely. Oh, yeah, I remember that, actually. Yeah.
It was just... Just perfect the entire day. So yeah, that would have to be relived.
Yeah, good one.
Rewrite. Now this could have been relived, but it needs rewriting, and that is Valencia.
Oh right? Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we're going to rewrite that so that we go there, 7,000 Stokies, we take over Valencia, but this time we come away with a win.
And Kenwyn Jones actually scores that chance.
Kenwyn Jones scores that. Yeah, we don't even win. He just scores that chance.
And we're in it.
And just so we never have the question, what if?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to erase the playoff heartache.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's Gillingham or Walsall. Gillingham, obviously, because of the Rob Stiles sending two Stoke players off. Clark and Cavanagh, that could go. But then again, we did have a lot of fun berating him and giving him a lot of stick in later years. So I think the Walsall one, we had less excuses. So I think we might keep Gillingham just for the fun that we have giving Rob Stiles a bit of stick later on.
Yeah.
And and get rid of the Walsall playoff defeat.
Yeah, I can't blame you there. Even if we didn't get promoted that season, say, would we be better not finishing in the playoffs that season so we didn't have to have the heartbreak, do you think? Or
yeah. It's a good question. Because it was all seemed to... show just how much we were dependent on one player. And Gudjon lost his mind completely in his team selection that day. He put players in positions that they'd never even seen, let alone played.
Well, then did that help us out the following season, maybe?
Yes, I think, because Peter Thorne did end up going, I think, the start of the following season, and maybe that gave them an indication of what life was like without him, and maybe they planned for it a bit better.
As you sort of alluded to there, a couple of big Stoke players left because of it, maybe, but we did it right.
Maybe they might have thought, oh yeah, it'll be all right, we'll sell him, it'll be fine. And then somebody went, do you remember when we played Walsall? Maybe we should get another strike.
No, some good selections there, matey. Considering that was a question completely off the top of my head, I think we've done well with that one together.
Yeah, you've done well.
I try. Okay, so as promised in the first half, I said that we didn't quite have time to go through all of your memories. The ones I've reserved, there's three I've reserved. These are ones that are more individual to you, I think. Yeah. They seem to have happened reasonably close together. I think when you submitted your offer to come on the podcast, you sort of listed all of your memories in chronological order, and these three were sort of bundled together almost. So I think this is within the same sort of time frame, yeah. So we'll start with the first one, and this involves you working for Stoke, right?
Yeah, so I was for a time the academy reporter for the official site and the club, really. So you could say I was the founder, for big myself up, of the role.
Why did you have to be the founder? Was that not a thing that happened before?
No, there was nothing. I used to go down Clayton Woods, before it was called Clayton Woods, it was back in the Mitch, and watch the youth team on a Saturday morning. I used to go down and watch them every home game. Go down and watch just because I do like to see young players coming through, so it's always nice, I think, to know, especially if someone then breaks into the first team, you'd be like, oh yeah, he's this kind of player, he's that kind of player, he does that. Or no, like say if somebody's playing well, you can think, I'd like to see him given a game. Or like, there is options in there. He could play right back.
Like discovering new music, isn't it? And like nobody knows about it yet, and you're like, you've got to listen to these because they're good, and nobody knows about them, and then they bang. And like, I know about these.
Well, you've been listening to me for 12 months. I've been on about it. I've been telling you about his dead ball deliveries for 12 months. Basically there was nothing on the official, there was nothing coming out of the club on anything. Like, there was a space on the website for it or nothing. So I emailed the head of the media, Steve Buxton at the time, the guy who does the Mighty Mighty Potters. Steve, yeah. So at the time, he was the head of media there. So I just emailed him and just said, like, I think there's people would appreciate knowing more. I don't mind doing that for you. It was quite funny, really, because the first, I went down and he sent me an email back. He was like, oh yeah, come down. I'm really interested in like meeting you and just getting a vibe of what you're thinking of doing. It is something that that would interest us in somebody taking on. So come down, give me a time and a date, come see me this time down the ground, ask for Steve and we'll come down to you. So I get myself ready and that, gets dressed up, goes down the ground, goes into the reception area, told the woman on reception of who I was, what was ESC, and she went off. And Scott Carson was there.
Okay.
So at the time, obviously, it was all in the news that he was going to sign for Stoke. And it was another Nick Hancock moment. I literally sat, there was just me and him in the lobby area and the small, next to between the ticket office and the club shop, that entrance there.
Yeah.
And it's only a little space, and he was looking at all the pictures on the wall. I think he was waiting for his agent.
Okay.
Not that I would know, because I didn't speak to him. No. 15 minutes we were there, I was just like, that's Scott Carson. To myself, oh God, that's Scott Carson. but obviously he was back in the, there was no like, I mean, what, 2008, so even then the phones weren't great enough, and it wasn't like the selfie culture or nothing like that anymore. Any back then, sorry. So yeah, I just sat there for ages, and I was like, he was like, it was him, but in my mind, I'm like, what if it's like the 0.01% chance it isn't?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you just like, messed up.
And how would you approach that conversation?
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't go, hi, are you Scott Carson?
No.
But it was funny because, it's funny to say that because when, later on, in years as I went on, I had to went to Wolverhampton races as part of a works do, because I worked for a bookmaker, and they sent us there, like as a reward for something. So we went, and Michael Owen was there with one of his horses.
Mm.
And obviously, during my time working with Stoke, I'd sort of, that barrier of, oh my God, they're footballers, that come down, because you get to obviously see them,
yeah,
you know, out around the ground and stuff. And but I was with a mate who's a Liverpool fan, and he was like, that's Michael Owen. I was like, and obviously I knew Michael, because obviously I'd worked at Stoke. I'd see, I was like, yeah, it's Michael Owen. And he was like, I can speak to him. I was like, okay, go on then. And he walked up, and he was like, will you come with me? And I was like, if you want. And we were in the parade ring, and we were like picking, like, they'd been the best dressed horse kind of thing, you know, the best kept and all that. And so he walked up to him, and he just went, are you Michael Owen? And I was like, oh no. And like, thinking back, that's what was in my head with Scott. I was like, I can't ask that question. But then I can't exactly go, I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Signing for Stoke, are you, mate? Like, who the hell are you?
You've got the scoop already. Yeah. You're in there one day.
So I went there. I went from that. Obviously, Steve came down. I went up to the media office. And he just asked me what I wanted to do. I was like, I'll go to the home games. I'll do any like profiles on the players. I'll do any match reports. And he was like, yeah, we'll put them on. You do them, send them across. We'll put them on, we'll, you know, tidy them up if they need tidying up. Mm. We'll put them on the official site. We'll put them in the programme. And I was like, yeah. And then it just went from there. He goes, right, there's a game tomorrow. He goes, I want you to go down, do me a report, send it in. I'll tell you what it looks like. So I was like, all right, okay. So I went down the ground, down the Mitch and that the next day with a notepad and a pen, started taking notes. And about 30 minutes in, one of the coaches came round and said, who are you?
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm just writing some notes. I've been asked to write a report on the game. It's for the official site and that. And he was like, well, we don't want you doing that.
Oh, like, no.
I was like, so obviously I'm thinking, oh, what do I do now? He's like, can I have your notepad? So he took my notepad off me, walked around, walked back into the dugout, and then he come back about half time, and he was like, here you go. So he goes, son, carry on. he's like, yeah, you send your report in. Like, I was like, okay. I'll carry on then.
Right.
Because I was like, he was obviously thinking that was some sort of, like, you know, from another club or something.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah. No, I can understand. Poaching. But, like, he must have found out at halftime or something, or?
I don't know whether he looked at what I'd written and thought, oh, it is literally just generic notes. He's not.
This guy's no professional.
Yeah, he's no scouty. But, yeah, basically, it was just that. And I was, gave that message across when I got back.
Brilliant.
And it never happened again, thankfully.
Oh, good. That's all right, then.
But, yeah, I mean, I did it for nothing.
That's great, that is. I was going to say, was this a voluntary thing? That's great.
Yeah, I did it voluntary. I got enjoyment. I enjoy, like, reading, like, written media myself.
Mm.
So something like that was always, yeah, and at the time I was still young, so I was, you know, I was like 20, and I was thinking, could possibly be an end to something further down the line, you know, a bit of experience down that route.
Yeah. But still, it's just nice to have your name in print in the programme, you said, and on the website and stuff. That, like, for your own club too, that it's unrivaled, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was buzzing.
Yeah, I bet you were. Even if it is voluntary, like, it's something, like, I mean, look what I'm doing. Like, this isn't anywhere, like, this is nothing to do with the club, but I just love doing this, so I can completely understand the motivation of getting your name in print and doing something about your club, for your club.
It was good as well, like, because it was good learning thing for me, because I'd send it in, because I didn't have that much experience of doing something like that, they would just clean it up or just rearrange something.
Yeah.
And for me, I could look at it and go, ah, right, okay.
And learn after from a few
games. Yeah. You know, after a few games, couple of months or whatever, that sort of, I noticed that would like be really reduced. Because I took that myself as I must be learning then.
Yeah.
Because it's going on as I'm sending it in.
Yeah. Either that or they just can't be bothered anymore. But yeah. No, hopefully you're actually learning something with it. Yeah, that's great. I love that. What were some of the highlights from that, do you think?
Well, I got to sit at the back of the stand as well. So
nice. Okay.
I didn't need a seat, which was great until we did get to that FA Cup run that we spoke about before.
Ah.
Because I wasn't a season ticket holder. And they only got so many tickets for Wembley. I went, I managed to go both games, but I had to sit on my own. And I was like, bottom of the priority kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was after the season. It was all like general sale.
Yeah, I know. I actually went through a similar experience. So I didn't go to the West Ham game. I remember my dad, I don't know whether you had to wait at the ground, didn't you? And there was a massive queue at the ground. You could do it by phone. I can't remember it at the time. I didn't go to the final. We didn't get tickets for the final, but I remember my dad queuing, whether it was physically or just virtually over the phone, for quite a long time to get tickets. And I'm pretty sure that in the same boat as you, it was under this general sale bucket. I'm surprised we got tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I think it literally was that there was no paper trail of me going to any games for about 3 years.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I needed to.
Yeah.
Other than some away games I brought tickets for, that was it. So yeah, that was the only time it was like, oh God, what are we going to do now? But I had to sit on my own for both games, but I didn't care.
No, you wouldn't do it. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I enjoyed, I went to the Rico, we played Coventry in the Youth Cup.
Nice.
And Louis Malt scored a goal that Ricardo Fuller would be proud of.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an extra time. It finished 1-1. We'd gone 2-1 down in extra time. And then we pulled it back to 2-2. And this was the last minute of extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally got the ball by the corner flag with his back to like two men on him. He's got his back to them. And he's spun. So he's done a 180 flick, knocked it through one defender's legs, dropped his shoulder at the edge of the box to get past another. Dropped his shoulder the other way to cut inside and then just stuck it in the top corner from like corner of the 6 yard box. And I was like, if that was Ricardo Fuller, you would not, that was his goal. You know what I mean? It was if you watched him and he was, Louis, I mean, he's still playing now, isn't he, for Preston? He's been injured for a while, but he was probably the best player I saw down there attacking wise. And yeah, you know, for bits of magic like that, it was a fantastic player to watch.
Do you know why we didn't keep hold of him? Because I know that at Stoke we've had a lot of youth players. I'm thinking particularly recently people like Verlinden, but then like Ollie Shenton was on the peripheral of the first team and never broke through. It's just what is it sometimes about a player that seems so promising to break into the first team? Some of them actually make it and play a few minutes and then just nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he played once, didn't he, away at Burnley?
And I was
there that day. I was like bouncing around when he came on, like an 88th minute sub. Like, he's made his debut. He's in the
like
team
like a proud
now.
Dad.
Yeah, I remember seeing him when he.
That's it.
And then he never played again. But I think maybe he wasn't quite what Tony Pulis was looking for at the time. Yeah, maybe that was probably it.
Did you ever meet Pulis? Or one of the managers? You did? Okay.
I did, yeah. I had one experience wasn't great towards the end.
Oh.
he was absolutely throwing it down one game and I was stood out on the balcony. It was after they'd opened the new building down there.
Right.
At the new training ground now. So I was standing on that on the balcony overlooking that main pitch, and then it was absolutely throwing it down. So I was like, I'm going to go inside. Mm. And the first team had all gone home, so I was allowed in the canteen.
Okay.
So I went in and I was watching it through the window. So I'm watching the game through the window, taking notes and that, and watching what's going on. And he just came in with somebody. And you imagine, like, the canteen's, like, massive.
Mm.
And I was the only person in there. And I put my bag down on a table, just a random table. And he came with this bloke and he just went, says, whose is this bag? So I was like, I looked around, I was like, it's mine. He went, well, this is my table, move it. I was like,
oh my God, really?
I was like, what? I was like, what are you doing? Pick another table.
Your table, what, in the canteen?
Yeah. I was like, pick another table. Why did you need that one?
How strange.
Just move it.
Was it a nice table? Was it by the window or something?
It was very much identical to every other table in the room.
I see, right. So there was no particular reason that he had to have that table. Maybe he was just being awkward. I could see that from Pulis.
Yeah, I think what it showed me was, like, I don't know, whoever it was he was with needed to see he was the boss, maybe.
Right, okay, I'm with you, yeah.
Whether that was in his mind, this is what I can do.
Because that seems pretty... Pulis. Like, he seems like a nice bloke, albeit he can ruffle a few feathers. That didn't seem to me how he would be off the field. But as you say, it might have been just a tactical reason for mentality and stuff. I can understand that, and that is something Pulis would do, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd say at the time, I was like, yeah, it's sort of like, I couldn't get out of my head for about 10 minutes. I'm thinking, why have you just needed to do that? Wasn't it? But then I was just like, he'll have his reasons. Let me go with it.
Yeah. Was there pressure doing what you were doing, apart from obviously Pulis nicking your bag? Because you had your name in print and on the website and stuff. Was there pressure in terms of, like, you had to do something right? Because, like, I think the fear of making a mistake for some people, you hear these on the radio getting the commentary name wrong. I think we spoke about that in the A side. And
I think there was never any put on me. It was only really what I put on myself.
Yeah. Did you feel any?
Yeah, like, I'd always... I think, like, if you were doing the first team game, if you get something wrong, people can see the right.
Mm.
But I'm like, unless you're one of the 30, 40, 50 maximum people who are there watching this game, and you read my report, and I've got something wrong, you're going to believe what I've said because you know no difference, and there's no way for you finding out. So it's like, it was that pressure of, I need to get this right to get the story across right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm giving, people are going to think falsely of what's happened.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it was interesting. I did enjoy doing it. I enjoyed as well the fact that, like, every year, obviously at least half the side usually would move on, and you'd have fresh players coming through constantly.
Mm.
You know, the under-16s had set up, they'd move up and stuff, and then obviously the first years become second years, and there's that constant cycle. So you never get too, like, repetitive into what you're doing, and you can see players develop as well. It's as good to see some players the first time and think, oh, I think he's a bit out of his depth. And
yeah,
then 12 months later, they're like one of the best players on the pitch, and you think, wow, that's, how have they come on so much in such a good short of time?
It's amazing how young players can come on. I'm thinking, like, Tyrese Campbell was a player that, like, couldn't play for half an hour without getting tired or injured. And then look at him now. He's, like, without him in this current moment in time, Stoke are not the same team without him. It's amazing how sometimes a young player can just bang from out of nowhere.
I bet he wishes he'd delayed signing his new contract now, because his value's gone through the roof.
Maybe, but then I guess we give him the platform, and I think at the time of when he was playing for us, he was one of the best players in the Championship this season. And
I don't mean, like, to move on. I mean, like, he's probably thinking his value to us, like, as in, like, pay me what I'm worth kind of thing, is probably shot up a notch or two while he's been injured.
This is true, actually. Yeah. We got him at a really good time. O'Neill did a really good job with him, I must admit. But there were so many players that sort of slipped through the net, as I say, and was there one that you thought, oh, well, we really shouldn't have let him go?
I remember there's loads who I've seen. dominating, especially midfield. And that, I mean, like Ryan Shotton, for example, in defence, he was a midfield, but Ryan Shotton never lost a header or anything at centre half. As far, he never played centre half for the first team, did he?
No, he didn't. He played up front and on the right wing, right back, but never in his in his proper position. No.
Yeah, he's played there for like Middlesbrough, Birmingham, his other clubs. But I suppose right back is sort of a centre half, wouldn't it? With Pulis at the time, he liked his four.
We've seen worse. We've seen Duke at right back, and we've definitely seen worse.
So Shotton was the best defender I've seen down there. It's funny again, like I say, play that position. Carl Dickinson, he was left of a midfield three when Noel Blake was there. I mean, that was before I started working. That was when I was just watching. But he would always play midfield. He'd be like centre midfield, but on the left of a three. And then obviously he got in the first team and he was like left back.
Yeah. That ended up with a lot of players at Stoke, though. Like Danny Collins ended up at left back. Mark Wilson ended up at left back. Danny Higginbotham was a centre back, really. Ended up at left back. We just didn't. Well, Pulis in particular just didn't like left backs, did he at all?
No.
No. It was astounding how long we went without signing one.
It was that sort of. I think he liked the Wilson thing, didn't he? Where Wilson was good on the ball and he'd sort of cut back in and play that big diagonal one too.
Yeah, but he wasn't particularly adventurous, and neither were any of our fullbacks really at the time. No. Even Wilco, even though he was, you know, heart battle worn and brave, but he certainly didn't bomb forward, did he?
Yeah, I think it was all about percentages, wasn't it? I think because I remember Dave Brammer when he was doing that radio stick, they were saying about the cage and that one team, saying how Pulis would always play. He wants him to play. He would get stick off the Stoke fans for smacking these long, hopeful balls into the corners, and he said, "Well, that's what he was told to do. Either that's put these long diagonal balls in, and either the defender heads out for a throw in, or you have pushed them back into their, they might have the ball, but it's a throw in the final third, in their defensive third." So, yeah, actually, he had his tactics and he worked, didn't it? He got us promoted, kept
absolutely.
Us up. I think there is a ceiling on play like that, but mind you, I suppose if you get better players to do it, does it? We will never know.
Well, no, we won't. And we won't know if they graduated from the academy either.
If you're saying the best player, I know centre midfield, we were blessed with some really good players, like who you thought were going to come through, who were good, nice on the eye kind of players. You know, people like Adam Vass, he was Hungarian player, centre midfielder, who could play brilliantly, box to box, spray the ball about lovely. Thought he was going to get a chance, he never did. I think he went and signed for Ferencváros in Hungary. He went and played in Serie A for Bari.
Okay.
And then went back to Ferencváros, who I think we had him from in the first place.
Fair enough.
There was Nat Wedderburn. I remember he came into the under-18s when he was 14 and looked about 23, 24. He was massive. He's like a real unit. And I think he was so good physically that he could run them games from midfield because he was such a unit. And he was good on the ball. He was so strong. So he looked really good, even at younger than the ones who were in there. But I think then when he got to like senior football, like reserve football, and then never really got a chance with the first team, he struggled because everybody was pretty much his size anyway. He was big enough to control the game using his power against leaner players.
Yeah.
He couldn't really do that as he progressed. And then the other one I'd have to mention would probably be like Florin Cavalier.
I was going to say, I remember him remember seeing him on the telly? I think he really wanted to be a Stoke player. I remember having him having a shirt on the wall. Was he on like Football Focus or something?
I think he was, because there was a lot about him. He came in Belgium and I think he went to Walsall on loan, and he might have had a bit of a bad injury, and he never really sort of got that form going again.
Yeah, it's a shame, because I've not heard of him since.
But yeah, he was another one who you could sit, like the kind of player you could sit and watch all day.
Yeah.
Just sort of like I say, spraying the ball about, taking players on box-to-box, just controlling a game. I love that kind of player.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't blame you. But no, I think it's really good that you did that for so long and you did it for nothing, which I think is great. And it seemed like a really mutual benefit in the end, which is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, towards the end, there was a change in the hierarchy within the media team, and then especially within the academy, like Steve Martin came in as the head of the academy. And he was like, well, nobody works here for free. And I was like, I do. He's like, no, you don't. I was like, we'll get you paid. So I was like, all right, okay. I was like, you don't have to. And it was sort of because they were paying me, then he could sort of dictate more.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it's sort of like, that's when it all started going downhill, because he was like, oh, we want you to do this game, we want you to do that. And obviously before, I was only doing the home games.
Yeah.
But then he was like, well, we want you to come with us to Newcastle on a Saturday morning.
And it starts to affect your personal life then. And I think there's a reason why people keep the club at arm's length when they do stuff like this.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I sort of want to get back for that 3 o'clock kickoff against, Liverpool or somebody this afternoon. He's like, oh no, you're coming with us to Newcastle instead. I'm like, oh, okay. Wonderful.
Wow, yeah. So you just left of your own accord, did you? Or?
Yeah, eventually, yeah, because the other thing was that, and he said he, obviously nobody works for him for free, but then he then wanted me to, when it came to actually paying me, he was like, you work for the media department, not me in the academy.
Yeah.
And then the media were like, well, we can't afford to pay you, so he's got to pay you.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, lads, just knock on the head. Like, not the payment stuff on the head, it's fine.
Yeah.
But like, they were like arguing themselves, as in like, no, whose job is it? whose responsibility is it to pay this lad? And they did in the end, and obviously they sorted all out. The media guy, Nick, he ended up sorting it out, and he said, I'll just pay out of our budget. But yeah, I left, I think it was about the end. I think he did one season where it was like that, and then I just left it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It was a good time. You enjoyed it in the end?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was good. It was good to get into the press conferences as well after the game, because obviously we'd be going up into the media area. You'd be down back into that area after the game, like you come through, and like I say, to see, you could see the manager's interviews, like the main, not obviously not the TV ones, but the ones after the game, like they do with like the written press and stuff. So you'd see a couple of that, especially like if they'd written something bad and they were like sort of not welcome as well. That was always interesting to see how that panned out. You have a front row seat on that.
Oh, well, good on you for getting like so in depth with the club and like I said, doing something for free. And despite the way it ended, it didn't keep you down, did it? Because you went and did something yourself off your own back. So you tell me the story about Stoke Mad.
Yes. So I was, again, just looking online, like different Stoke sites and stuff. And this one came up, that's Stoke City Mad, .co.uk. And it was saying, like, looking for an editor. The old one had left. I was like, yeah, I fancy a go at that. And I think I was working for the club as well at the time. So I sort of, first thing I did was like, look, obviously, you know, like, a lot of people will be familiar with, like, the oatcake. And the amount of traffic that seriously gets, you know, well, I don't go it now, but back then, it would get like, you know, 90%+.
Yeah.
95% of all Stoke. You know, if that's how many Stoke fans would go straight there, they wouldn't know of anywhere else. And I think because it was so popular, there was no need for people to go anywhere else. There was no need for any other forums or anything like that. So I sort of, like I said, took on this role. And again, I mean, I think you got paid on the hits because they would pay you. So it'd be how many hits you'd got.
Okay.
It worked out about 90 quid a quarter. So it was a labour of love. It wasn't a full-time job. But if I could have linked the oatcake to it, it might well have been.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did, I sort of got on there, changed the name because it was literally just Stoke City mad. So I put a poll up, and the people on there said, what would people like it? So people put suggestions, put them all into a poll, said get everyone to vote.
Hmm.
And it was called the Booth and Roar.
Okay.
And so that was the name it was picked for it. And yeah, I spent hours and hours just updating it all the time. And like I say, I've always have a fondness for like written press and stuff, and doing that kind of things myself. So I do like player profiles. I'm massive with numbers. I mean, I still do it now, where like I've got lists on my computer of how many appearances each player's made, how many goals they've scored, start subs, and then each season. So I just keep track of it. I think it's just the way like my brain's thing is, like I'll do like numbers and stuff.
That's amazing, considering like all of this data is available on numerous websites. That's something you keep yourself. It's like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so I had like loads of grids that I'd done for years, and it was like, to 99% of people, it's pointless information.
Of course, and like I say, you can get it anywhere, but to you, it means something, right?
Yeah, and I could put up there, and I thought, even if just somebody else looks at it and thinks, oh, that's good, because I'd put in like an Excel grid, and it'd be even stuff like results, home results against different teams. So you could look back on the previous 15 years and go, oh, we're playing, we play Sheffield Wednesday. Oh, let's have a look. Oh, we beat them that this season. We didn't play them that. We beat them that.
So like proper history.
Yeah, went back like, as far as from when I'd started doing it, I had for like attendances, so people could see like if there was, and for me, I looked at it, and you notice like little things like, oh, we always seem to get a good gate against this team, or it's just all numbers and stuff, and that's as sad as it may appear to a lot of people, and I understand why. That's just the kind of thing that I enjoy doing.
We've had people on here that collect programs. We've had people on here that got into Stoke City through match attacks. You know, whatever gets you into Stoke, and it is your niche. People would think I'm sad for sitting here and spending hours and hours editing for something like this, but I absolutely love it. And that's the thing, it's whatever gets you interested. And the fact that you're able to do something which other people enjoy too, all the better, right?
Yeah, and like I say, I linked, and I just thought, even if I put all that out there, and even if it's just useful to one more person,
then it's worth it.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
and it had like news now and stuff, and so you trawl through there, spend hours and hours looking on there, and I get a buzz off seeing that one of my stories was number one on there for like the last 24 hours.
Okay, nice, yeah.
And like, I've did that. I have done something that more people have clicked on than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Related to Stoke in the last day.
Yeah, I understand that, because like, people must spend time listening to this podcast, and God bless you if you do, but like, some people spend like a couple of hours a month listening to this, and that blows my mind, so I can completely empathize with like the fact that people spend time looking or reading or listening to something that you do, or watching something you do, is possibly the biggest compliment you can get. I empathize completely with that.
Yeah, I say I could like put all my academy reports on there as well. Club never stopped me doing anything like that.
Okay, that's good. So you're able to sort of utilize that for, I don't want to say your own benefit, but like just spread that wider.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I got that on, and there was a message board, so it wasn't that popular, but there was about 8 to 10 people who go on and use it, which isn't obviously great, but there was 2 or 3 that were really quite prolific posters all the time.
Yeah.
And one guy was just known as Welshy, Chris, his name was, and obviously he was from that's our Welsh Stoke fan.
Yeah.
And ended up like meeting him at the ground. That was always good. And that, but it was thinking that the guy who posted more than anybody was a guy named Gary, and he was like, because you had your top posters list at the side.
Yeah.
And he was living in London, and that, and then he just passed away one time.
Oh no.
And I thought, this guy, I've never met him, but obviously spoke to him on there all the time. And just for that to happen, he just like, weird. How can you think like, whoa, and be taken aback by, somebody who's you've never you never met. Do you know what I mean?
I do. It sounds weird that people like on Twitter, they're people behind there. And I think that people forget that a lot sometimes. The amount of abuse that goes around on social media. People forget that they aren't just a handle and a profile picture. You know, there's people behind there. There's people these days that have been suffering with COVID.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's easy to just like forget that it's more than just a name, or more than just a username,
more than just a football fan. They're a person with other lives as well, right? And
yeah, exactly. A lot of people, like say, have been ill, haven't they, with everything that's going on?
Yeah, I think is it Wayne who's been very ill, and we normally see him on Twitter. He's a character. If you're listening, or anyone who knows Wayne is listening, send him all the best from me, please.
He's a good character. He's always there, brings a smile to your face.
Well, that's the thing, because like you can disagree with people on social media for whatever reason, because it is the platform for opinion. But at the end of the day, like, I know that a lot of people disagree on Twitter, but yeah, we should all come together at times like this. And as you say, sometimes just the death of someone that you've never met but spoke to and interacted with for so long is odd. Very, very odd.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe, yeah. Like I say, odd, strange.
You don't know what to do with yourself.
No, because you think, that's weird. I'm never going to see his name pop up. He's just put a post on. So it's like, wow. So yeah, that was really weird. And,
of course. But on the whole, right, a lot of people enjoyed it, and you enjoyed your time doing it as well?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, we used to do something called Opposition View.
Okay,
well. So every week I'd you know, go down. Usually I'd find the person on the other. I'd say you were playing Portsmouth, whatever. You go onto the Portsmouth Mad and find them. But you sometimes, if there wasn't someone there, they were like, no editor, or then you'd have to go trawling a bit outside.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was always good to get, like, say, set some funny questions as well. You know, you get some semi-serious on the games and some light-hearted ones. Say interacting with other clubs as well. Mm. I had a couple of people who I brought in as columnists as well.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, so they do regular features. And then I had one called One to Watch.
Okay,
which
nice.
I always, I know some of the names on this list. So I did about 80. And okay. I did the first few myself. And then there was somebody, because I was doing that much, and obviously I was doing other things as well. I just asked anyone else, you know, anyone looking for some experience in writing and stuff, and then give it to the other lads to do. And I'd tell him the player, and he'd go and do the research.
Okay.
So it was like young players coming through, and obviously because I'd been watching Stoke, it was like players that had caught my eye a lot of the time, or players that I'd read about or seen, you know, on the TV and stuff like that. These young players that have come, you know, 17, 18, coming through. And, so I'd say, just send him, like, this week it's player X. And then he'd go off and come back with, you know, four or five paragraphs on this player, what they've done, what kind of player they are, what the near future holds for them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, Jordan Henderson, people like that, Tom Cleverley, Tom Ince, he was on there.
I mean, three interesting shouts in different ways, but...
So it was all like players who they might have just played a couple of games, or they not quite made it in the first team, but like I said, sort of seeing that you could tell they were, you know, decent players and that. There was some that never quite made it.
Like Tom Ince.
There's some, like, when you look back, you think, oh, like, look back and you think, oh, well, you know, where's this player nowadays? Where is he?
Comments.
Yeah, there's a lot of people asking where he's been the last couple of years.
Oh, dear.
But he's reunited now with his good mate.
Yes, exactly. with his good mate that never played him. Again, we don't do current events, really, so we won't go into that. But, oh, funny. No, it's good. Like, and I was just going to say, there's not that many written platforms these days. You mentioned the Oatcake. They they as a fanzine have gone, unfortunately, have done for, you know, a couple of seasons now. Dutmag, as far as I'm aware, is one of the few dedicated publications to Soak City. I know that, so I asked a question on social media last week, and there's one called The Football Addict, and he's a Stoke fan. I think he's coming on this podcast soon as well. But there doesn't seem to be many written content-wise, anyway.
No.
There's not many people doing what you were doing.
Yeah, because there was Avtak as well, weren't there?
Yeah.
Due to a Kill. That's disappeared as well. Due to a Kill.
Wizards were doing blogs at one point. The Bear Pit was doing blogs. I remember doing blogs for Bear Pit at one point. Stoke Loud and Proud dabbled. Yeah, there was loads.
Yeah, I mean, it all seems to be more like vlogging, doesn't it, these days? It's like video. Everything's moved on to sort of like...
Don't get me wrong, it is much easier to do digital content, whether that be video or audio. Like, me trying to write a blog out of this would be very, very difficult. I'm very glad that I can just sit and record this and maybe do a bit of editing afterwards and it's done. I couldn't imagine writing up a 3-hour interview. I think that would kill me. But yeah, I can understand. And because it's so easy, like, I was thinking blogs I found at the time, because like I say, I sort of dabbled in Bear Pit. It wasn't exactly easy. It wasn't intuitive anyway, blogging. You'd think it'd just be write up a Word document and upload it, but it wasn't always the case, was it?
No.
There's quite a lot involved with doing stuff like that. Well, with me, I can just record something, bang it on SoundCloud, and it's in your inboxes.
Yeah, because you've got all the design, the layout, haven't you? And then you've got a lot of editing to do.
Mm.
So there you've just got to proofread it back, haven't you? Which isn't too bad. But
yeah.
It's like, say, making sure that it all, like the design of it all, and it reads right. It's that kind of, it's all, you know, in the correct order and stuff.
That's the thing. Like, you can go back and change a blog where if you recorded a video or a podcast, unless you go and literally re-record the whole thing, you're pretty set and it's pretty natural. But with the blog, you've got the opportunity, whether it be a hindrance or a benefit for some people, you know, you've got the chance to go back and edit that. And I remember when I was doing blogs, I'd sit back and read through, you know, maybe twice, three times, try and reword things, and I'd still get it wrong by the time I'd launched it.
I was just going to say, it depends on which of a perfectionist you are, whether it's a help or a hindrance, because you could sit there all day and rewrite it this way, rewrite it that way.
So, no, I can understand why there's less written content, but there is still some out there if you are looking for it. You've just got to look in the right places and ask the right questions. And as you say, content is moving to more of a digital platform, which, I'll be honest, is easier to digest, I must admit, and I can understand why content has moved in that direction. Hence why I'm here today talking to you.
I think it's like it's easier. Like you say, it's easier to digest. It's more... like you can stick your headphones in and go for a walk the dogs and listen to this, for example, couldn't you?
Yeah.
But you can't really take the dog for a walk and read during this. No. You can listen to stuff like this whilst doing other things.
I do regularly. I've done it today. Well, there you go.
I had a couple of different podcasts on today just whilst I was, like say, potting around the house and then just like doing tea and stuff. It's just like, I think it's replaced radio for me in like that kind of sense.
Yeah.
Whereas people used to have the radio on the background. Now it's, for me anyway, it's all podcasts.
Well, the same way that you had TV and now it's on demand, you know, you have Netflix and stuff. This is the podcast equivalent of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, we digress a little bit. we'll move on from blogging in all sense, and we'll move on to the last of the three memories that I was going to talk to you about today. And this is Stoke Ramblers, but it's not the Stoke Ramblers that a lot of people would associate back in 1863.
No, not quite that old.
Not quite that old. Maybe 1963. No. I'd like to explain more about Stoke Ramblers.
Yes, so for people who, if I said Oatcake Occasionals, there's probably a group of blokes out there who would straight away be like, yes, I remember them days.
See, that's gone over my head, I must admit. So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so for the masses who would have no idea, we the Oatcake message board and forum used to have little tournaments a couple of times a year or match, like either have an 11-a-side match, all Stoke fans off the message board, or they'd have a little tournament if there was enough players and you'd play 3 or 4 games and then a final. And then you'd all go to the Kismet in Stoke for a curry.
Yes.
And then we'd go after. So we'd play our games in the morning. We'd go to.
Hello. Doggo in the background. I've not said this in a while. Podcasting at its finest. You're more than welcome to go and see it to your doggo.
2 seconds, maybe even edit. He wants to go out for a
week. Oh, no. This is staying in.
Right.
So, don't forget, guys, this is raw content. You don't get this from that Peter Crouch podcast here.
Oh, no. I'll let Jimmy Miller. He's all polished, isn't he? No,
oh, we don't do this. Polished here.
So, he's... where was I? Yes. So, Oatcake Games, yes.
Brilliant. Okay.
Oatcake Occasionals, right. Yes. So, yeah. We'd organise the date, a time, a place where they're going to play. Hmm. We'd all turn up. We'd have a great laugh amongst, like I say, playing, whether it be one match or a group of little smaller games. And then we get to the end. Obviously, there'd be a winning team. They'd always have a little trophy and stuff for the winning team. The captain would have it. He'd be raising money for charity as well. Usually at the Donna Louise, I think we usually, we'd all pay a bit for playing, like, and that's where the money would go.
Mm.
And then we'd all go, like, it's a Stoke game in the afternoon, and then we'd go out for a curry and a drink at night.
Nice.
And like I say, sometimes there'd be 25 players.
Wow.
Other times I've known there's been, like, 50 plus when we've had, like,
wow,
you know, 4 or 5 teams.
Yeah.
And that was always, you know, that's where sort of my idea for Stoke Ramblers sort of came from.
Because
I'd be pestering, you know, what we do. Are we having more occasional games? They sort of died a death at this point.
Yeah.
They'd sort of, the original lads who were doing it had got a bit older and not, you know, weren't playing as much, or, you know, maybe got families and stuff, weren't available as much, moved away, all your work, all sorts of stuff. And so I was sort of looking for that fix.
Mm, yeah.
Playing football with Stoke mates, you know, football fans and that. So I remember just putting it on the computer, you know, and basically going on some message boards and just putting, you know, I think I went on to Birmingham's, Wolves, Aston Villa's, just local sides in the Premier League, and just thinking, I wonder if there's any fans teams for these, or groups of like players, you know, groups of fans who want to meet up and play a game before we play them.
Yeah.
Because I think it was 2010. It was, yeah, start of the season, 2010. And I remember going on the West Brom site, and they linked me to the IFA, which is the Internet Football Association.
Okay.
So they started in 1996. So obviously after Euro 96, when they had a bit of, obviously, football fans were looked down upon back then, it was all, yeah, we're just there to cause trouble and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of started it. And the idea is that you play fans of whoever your team are playing. Mm-hmm. So you play them before the match. And it's all friendly. You don't even have a referee. You referee, like amongst yourselves kind of thing. Everyone who turns up has a game. It's all about the taking part and thingies. So you shouldn't need a referee, basically.
Yeah. So, because it's friendly enough.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, just going out there, playing football, and having a laugh. You know, that's all-inclusive and stuff. And basically, it was designed back then to try and repair some of the image of the football fan.
Mm.
So we've come into it, like, say, 2010, 14 years later, and there's a whole league set up, and there's, like, 90 teams in this league.
Mm.
So you play, I think it was maximum 20 games in a season. But obviously there was a table there I think it was mainly just there for reference, because it wasn't what the league table really wasn't what they were about.
Mm-hmm.
That they just brought that in.
Just because why not?
Yeah, because people were asking for it, like. And obviously people wanted to see, you know, who the best teams were, I suppose.
Did they win anything? Or?
Yeah, so you'd have like a shield and that.
Okay.
So every summer, It's actually moved to Nottingham since we've stopped. It's moved to Nottingham University now, but it used to be at Preston, the UCLan in Preston, the university there. And it all weekend, so all the teams would meet up in July. And it always fell on my birthday weekend. It was great.
Nice.
And you'd play all your group games on Saturday. And then the knockout games would be played on the Sunday.
Oh, cool.
So it was called WorldNet. And you had teams. Yeah, it was amazing. You'd have teams from Nigeria come over. And
wow.
Lens. Yeah. So this Nigeria, they called themselves Nigeria Arsenal. They're Arsenal fans.
Oh, okay.
And then we had like Lens fans. Lens brought two teams over to this tournament every year.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was like crazy. And you have like from, there's usually about 50, I'd say 50, 60 teams would make this tournament like.
Wow.
And they arrange the draw so that, you know, everybody got like three or four games on the Saturday.
Mm.
Like half, I think they were like 20 minutes each way games. It was like, oh, you're on pitch 7, then you're on pitch 11. You got a 2-hour gap and you're on, you know. But like I say, you could sit and say watch all the other games and you'd see players because it was a friendly environment. You would, especially for me as a team organizer and that, I would see people and you'd, oh, you're right, Dan, how are you doing? And it was just like a massive sort of like get together, with a bit of football thrown in.
I love that. I like, is this a thing that's still going?
it's still going. We stopped playing 5 years ago when I changed jobs and I couldn't do Saturdays and I sort of like left it open to anyone who wanted to carry on, but it's a lot of work.
I was gonna ask, like, did it take up a lot of your personal time trying to organize these things?
Loads. And like, even like you do organize, so we'd sort of sort the pitch, the home pitch for the year.
Where did you play?
We kept changing. We started off in Halls Road in Biddulph.
Right.
On their pitches. And then we moved to the pitches in Chell, on Chellis Road.
Hmm.
Then to Fenton Park, so we were getting closer and closer. So we got to Fenton Park. And then from there, we actually played at the Mitch.
Hmm.
But, like, not where the training ground is, the other side. So, like, on the same complex, but on the other side, the bushes.
Yeah.
So we were, like, on the Michelin's territory rather than Stokes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was great because I'd see a few times, like, we'd if our first team were, like, leaving there, or, like, whoever we were playing, they were like, oh, that's Peter Crouch. Like, wow, this is amazing. We got all these players. Like, yeah. But the only issue with that pitch was it gets waterlogged to, like, a light drizzle.
Okay.
So we couldn't stay there. But it was really good. But if the drainage had been a bit better, we'd have stayed there.
Yeah.
But it was like, I just went on this West Brom, directed to there, did a bit of digging, thought, yeah, this sounds perfect. Because, yeah, I'm not the greatest footballer. It's all inclusive, so that's good for me.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in the Sunday League element of, you know, trying to take someone's head off or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, so I play Power League sometimes. I play five-a-side. And I used to play, I don't want to say competitively, used to just play in like a friendly league when I was like 17, 18 or so. And some of the teams down there were just taking it far too seriously. Yeah. Like, seriously getting knives out at some point. And you were thinking, what on earth are you doing? Like, this is a friendly game of football that we paid like £3 to play. So I completely agree. Having that completely no pressure, friendly atmosphere, just have a kick around, is like no pressure on being good or fit or skillful. I'd love something like that. And honestly, if that's the thing that was still going, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. And it was like the football was only like a part of it, because once I decided what I was doing, diverting back again to the Oatcake, just stuck a message on there who's interested in playing. Got a few people like straight up. A few of the lads, like Myatt, Kopi and that, who had played in the Oakgate games. They were straight onto it. And then there's a lad called Simon and Gal and Rich with a three as well, who came in.
Nice.
And they, like I say, for years as well, they were they spoke to the especially Si and Gal more than spoke to anybody for the next 5-6 years while we were doing that, because it was like all the time. And it was, and like I say, the day two clan helping just like run it and stuff. Simon was manager for a long time, as well as playing and stuff. And he'd like, you know, what, where we playing, what we're doing. He'd give his input, I'd give mine. We'd usually agree he was right. but yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I made some friends that sometimes you sit and I think, I don't speak to them people enough now.
Yeah.
That maybe you should make more time to keep in touch with a lot of them.
But this is a problem, isn't it? But life does move on to some degree. And you can't keep in touch with everybody you've ever known, but I understand the feeling. And to be honest, I was just going to lead on to this, the fact that you said you played on a match day, but like before the game, right? It just adds something to the match day, because I feel like the match day down to, well, we've been about this all the time on this podcast, just very little happens before the game. And actually, that's a great idea to get involved with something to add to your Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the first game we played, right, was Preston away. And obviously we went on that forum, the IFA forum thing, new team looking for a first game, and it was international weekend, so we could have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And Preston came on and they were like, oh yeah, come to us, do your first game. And Steve, I still speak to Steve now, he's a brilliant, brilliant bloke. He just organises all that stuff. But he was like, oh, come to us, yeah, we'll sort you out. Like, okay. So we lost 10-0.
Right. But your first game, so...
First game. I played right back. The guy who played left wing, he signed for Preston about 2 weeks later.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
I was like, he's all right then.
Yeah, he was all right. He was all right. But it was great because we got there and we had a great laugh. And we went, and after the game, because he works at the club as well, he took us to Deepdale and we had a full tour of Deepdale.
Oh,
on the pitch and
well,
everything.
There you go. So who cares if you got skinned a couple of times? You got a good experience. Exactly. Out of it.
I think this guy's too quick for me. What's going on? I mean, most people are, but this guy's was a super.
Just hack him down. You know the rules.
I couldn't get close enough to do that. but yeah, there's loads of memories. I remember that first season, the first point we got, if you like, the first result. We went away to Crewe. And we drew 0-0, and we were like battered for 90 minutes. I think it was about the sixth, seventh game we played. And they were just like, it was just like attack, attack, attack. And we just, but it was like bodies on the line kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it just showed that, like I say, it didn't mean anything in the grand context of things, but to us, it was that result of, you know, just shows. Like say, I was working together with a group of people who I didn't know 2 months prior, but the feeling at the end of when you got that 0-0 draw, everybody was like, you know, up in the clouds, and we, you know, we like I say, we had been on the back foot for the whole game, but as we felt like, oh, we're learning,
or,
we've done this, we've achieved something together,
and the best thing, you're all Stoke fans as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then you say you do that, and then you go, we went back to the pub.
Oh,
and
man.
And that would be the thing. If you finish the game, you go to the pub, then you go to the match. And you go to the pub, and you, especially if you were at home or something, or you know, most people did when they're away, you know, there'd be sausage and chips there.
Oh,
there you go, lads,
God.
Dig into that. Do you mean? It's like, oh, yeah, it was just like, say, really, really good times. And
it's getting me sad. I've not been to the pub for like 4 months, and about, it could be even longer for you. And just think, I miss my Saturday. I miss having the opportunity to play football. I miss going to watch football. I miss the pub. I miss curries afterwards. I miss the lot. I miss seeing people. It's such a shame.
It was like, I remember there was just before Christmas on that first season. I say we still hadn't won a game, and we got drew away to Hull in the cup. There used to be a cup as well. I think Stoke were away at Arsenal that day, and a lot of us couldn't get tickets. So we've gone, we decided, well, yeah, we'll play up, because obviously you could arrange a date. So we said, oh, we'll go up and go there. We got there, and it had been snowing all week, and it was on an AstroTurf pitch, but they piled all the snow up at the side. So there's like literally about 10 feet of snow surrounding this. And we were playing like a caged pitch that's covered in snow. And we lost 10-0.
Oh.
And we got Matt, I say, and they had some good players. Mm. But I always remember, I think it was either like the 8th or the 9th goal, this guy just hit it from like 20 yards and the midfielder gave up. And he just run past him and shot. And I was at centre-half then. So this guy's just run straight through the midfield and he's just running at us. And we're sort of like, you know, wondering, do you go to him, we're going to back off? And he just let rip from like 23 yards. And the keeper just stood there and let it go past him and went, oh, if you lot can't be arsed, try, neither can I. But it was, then everyone just sort of burst out laughing. It was like,
yeah.
Who cares? In some instances, it could have been like, you know, sometimes football, you get mad at that and they'd be like, people, like confrontations and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. If it meant something, you'd have a go at your teammates, yeah, wouldn't you, or something. But honestly,
we sort of just turned around and were like,
yeah. Sometimes you just got to appreciate that sort of thing. And I guess it might make you appreciate people like Danny Bart a bit more and go, ah, he's not so bad, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Could be worse. Could be put me in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it must have worked because we won the next game we played after that.
Oh, well, there you go then.
But yeah, I used my knowledge of playing centre-half in that game to inform the manager that the problem was the entire of the midfield all liked getting forward.
Yeah.
I was like, this is your issue here.
Yeah.
Everybody, you got you're playing 4-4-2. So you got four midfielders who are all getting forward and they're all forward thinking players. So no one's protecting the defence. And he play himself right back. And I was like, just play yourself in front of the defence and play 4-1-4-1.
Yeah.
And he was like, right, okay. I said, yeah, so because he was one of the better players in the team, I'm like, you wasted a right back. I said, stick yourself there, let them four do what they want to do with this one striker, and you just sit. And we played, we played Crewe, and within about half an hour, we were 3-0 up.
Mm.
And I remember when the third goal went in, he just run over to me, because I was on the touchline. He run over to me, he's like, you are a tactical genius. I'm like, I wouldn't go that far. But you know, Si, I'm all right. It was only because we got absolutely destroyed in the last match and I had a front row seat. they could see the problem.
If only you'd have held on for a couple more years, you might have replaced Mark Hughes in the end.
Yeah, I should have put my application in.
You should have done. I mean, everybody else bloody did, didn't they?
A reference from somebody who says, I know what I'm doing.
Play Mamdouf in defensive midfield. It would have worked, but it kept us up. No, that's great. I love the idea of Stoke Ramblers. I'm guessing it's not a thing today, just any Stoke fans team?
Not as far as I know of.
No, which is a real shame. I can understand it in this current climate, but even if it was like on pause, but not to have anything at all is a shame, because it'd be something that I'd be interested in. Okay, like with everything going on, I don't know how I'd have time to fit anything in. And I guess that's the thing for a lot of people. A lot of these people are home and away Stoke fans, are they? And they go every week, or?
Yeah, a lot of them are home, especially home Stoke fans.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
they, like I say, most of them are away as well.
Yeah, so it's tough, isn't it? If you're trying to get a team together home and away, I can quite understand how it can be difficult. But
yeah, the amount of times I woke up on a Saturday morning to like 4 or 5 dropouts as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who's going to answer the phone this time?
Well, we've got 9 men today.
Yeah, basically. We've travelled to Buxton with 7 before.
Oh, no.
And there was like, but obviously it was like, sort of like they'd lend us 4 players.
Oh, that's not so bad.
And I'm like, okay, can I have, they have to be 4 good players, but they'd be 4 honest players.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd have it and you're like, they just let somebody walk past them or something. I'm like, it's not really in the spirit of what we're doing.
Come
here,
on, lads.
Yeah.
Who cares about the shirt shield?
On? Yeah. You could have put the shirt on, at least try. And then, But we did get good in the end. We came about third, I think, in the league 1 year. We won a tournament on the Bet365 pitch.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like the end of season where they have...
Yes.
You can have, like, you can play to... pay to play.
Yes, yes.
Well, they did, like, a tournament version. So I think it was six a side. And then they split it up. And then you'd play three group games. And then the top two would play in the final. Hmm. And we won. We won that, yeah.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, that was brilliant. That was just to get on the pitch and just... Obviously, to get on it legally after the amazing after the Leicester game, to get in and actually play it like was just amazing.
Yeah,
and that's I know the lad who Matt Goldstraw scored a couple of goals in the Boovenen goal in the final to win it. And I think that was just a dream to say, yeah, I've scored the winning goal in front of the Boovenen. And they opened it up as well, so we did have some people there who could watch it in there. So
oh,
it was
nice.
Good as well. It wasn't completely empty.
They got Matt Goldstraw. Good luck.
Yeah. So we went got a couple of cup finals as well, and like because it was like a Midlands Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up getting to the final. But West Brom's team was just amazing year after year after year. They were like the best team. I think they lost like once a season, if that.
Okay.
And we always seem to get them in the final. We got two finals, sorry, and two semi-finals, and they knocked us out of all four years.
Brilliant.
But, yeah, the two finals were good. Well, the first one we lost 3-1, but the second one was on penalties. We thought this could be our year. And then, yeah, we just lost on in a shootout.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was like, say, playing on Eccleshall's. That was playing at Eccleshall's. Football ground. Have played on Kidderminster's ground, played on Telford's ground. So yeah, it was all good experiences and stuff as well.
Massive.
And went on Soccer AM.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, we all went on Soccer AM. That was an interesting trip.
Yeah.
They pay for like you travel down.
Yeah.
Pay for your hotel overnight. It was a messy night.
yes, I can imagine. Actually, yes. We've had a couple of Stoke fans in here who've appeared on Soccer AM. Some a bit younger, so they've not had the opportunity to go out on the night out. But yeah, I can imagine how you can just do what you want the night before and it's a bit of a sore head the next morning, right?
It was always good as well. Like, because we used to record all our games and put them on YouTube.
Right? Oh, wow.
So they're still on there now. So we... But we took the camera down to there and I always remember like we filmed some of that like the journey down and stuff and that like, it's a great thought when you can look back at that kind of footage.
I'm guessing that's not something that ever made YouTube.
Yeah, it's on
it
YouTube.
Did.
Well, the edited version's on YouTube.
Wow. But, I mean, so, if you're at home and you're not doing very much in lockdown, why don't you Google Stoke Ramblers and see what comes up on YouTube?
Don't link it to the TV while the kids are around.
Oh, man.
No, it's not that bad.
You were vlogging before it was cool.
But yeah, so we did. We were all on there. I mean, like, we were trying to like put the camera down as the guy was, like, the producer was telling us all the stuff to do, and he just looked over. Is that thing on? Let's turn it off. Let's get some behind the scenes footage here, but no.
Oh, sad.
They're kicked out. But yeah, we had. That was another stuff that I used to enjoy, like say editing them videos and it's funny, you always like find because like one of the subs would go, can you just do the camera work for us till you come on? And then like you do like the it was two things that was quite fun. When you were just watching the match back, you could hear what everyone was saying. And then the two things was like the other thing was the people who couldn't be bothered and they just like left it facing the goal.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, just point it towards the goal and leave it there.
Wow.
They only want to see our goals. We don't need to see their end.
No. Well, how about that? Like Stoke Ramblers sort of grew into this massive thing. And you know what? I love that about everything that you've done. From an email to the club saying that I want to do stuff with the academy and you've done it. From Stoke Mad and turn it into the Booth and Roar and making a proper platform out of it. And Stoke Ramblers and turn it into this massive entity that helped a lot of people out on their weekend, I'm sure. I just, that's great. You've done so much for Stoke, and you probably don't even realise or reflect on it that much, but I bet you've fulfilled a lot of Stoke City fans' weekends, and a lot of people don't even know it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. If anyone's thinking of doing anything like that, my advice would be just go for it as well.
Yeah.
Just do it, because all three of them things we've just talked about there, I enjoyed so much.
Yeah.
And obviously it's changing circumstances as you get older and stuff, that
yeah,
things have to change, you have to drop things, pick things up. But yeah, I wouldn't change any of them.
No, I bet. Thinking about what we spoke about in the first half as well, I'm going to push you for a top three memories out of everything that we spoke about across the two sides so far.
Ooh.
They can be personal, they can be relatable, it's up to you.
So the top three memories of anything.
Anything. Right. The happiest you've been as a Stoke fan in whatever capacity.
The happiest I've been as a Stoke fan would have to be the Bolton 5-0.
Yeah, okay.
That was just a dream.
Yeah.
Complete dream.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, waiting to wake up.
Yeah.
The
I mean, obviously getting told off by Pulis.
yeah, obviously, yeah, that's got to be up there. I would say the second happiest I've ever been in Stoke, man. It wasn't something I really touched on here. Is that allowed? Can I bring something else
in? Of course you can. You go for it, mate.
It's probably the 6-1 against Liverpool.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, to get that, because actually with my job, and I wasn't renewing my season ticket because I had to work Saturdays where I was moving my job to.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that was going to be my last game it was going to be my last permanent there every week game a while. And it was for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just to go out like that, the Nzonzi goal.
Yeah.
It was just... and it was on Sky actually earlier on when I was just flicking through and it was there, 6. They were playing the highlights of it. And out of all of them, it's just that ends on the goal and just leaving the ground thinking, what is this team capable of now? Yeah, move on. And obviously they did add some players into it. They added like Shaqiri into it, didn't they? I think Bojang was injured at that time, I think, once he came back the following season.
He was injured at the time, definitely, yeah, because he come back a couple of games into the following season. So just how good we could have been.
Yeah, I think, and then you just think like that was... unfortunately, in Zonzi's last game.
Was that the season we finished above Chelsea too?
I think, yeah, it was,
I think it was, so we really could have pushed that season. We missed out. Well, some would say we missed out. Some say that ninth in the Premier League's one of the highest finishes we've ever had as a club. But, I mean, we really could have pushed on that season, especially if like people like Bojan were in and the players we had.
You sort of think, like I say, if they could have somehow just kept in Zonzi for that one more year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't turn my nose up at £7 million, but you think...
What's he worth now?
Yeah, as a club, could they have just said, yeah, just give us one more year and you can go on a free?
It's okay, we signed Julian Bula. He was worth it.
Yeah, so could have saved £7 million, could have saved 18.
Oh, God. Anyway, so number three?
Yes, number three is going to be... winning the tournament on the 365 pitch.
Yeah, I bet. That's a good one. That's one not a lot of people have either.
Yeah, to have that as it was a brilliant night as well.
Yeah. That's a great one.
My family there as well. It was great. Yeah, my nan's like, she's a lifelong Stoke. She's not with us anymore. She was she liked Sporty Stoke for years, but she'd never been because it wasn't fashionable when she was younger for women to go or anything and she was getting a bit old, like she was older and that. And it was the only time she'd ever been to a football ground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was nice for her. It was great to have her there.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, I love that. I've loved this. I've loved talking to you about those three specific sort of times in your life there. I've loved that. I know you offered before about doing this in three parts, and you know what, I think this is gonna have to be a podcast first. Looking at the time that we've gone into again today, I think we're gonna have to make this a three-parter.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Excellent. Well, hopefully so is everybody else. I'm happy with a three-parter, so we'll do the regular B-side content in the seaside. Not the seaside. We're not going to Brighton. We're going to do a seaside, and I guess that'll be the Files FC and like then you back in the present day reflecting on things, and I think that's going to be really good. That means I'm going to have to give you another break question, and fortunately, I think I can go back and ask you the break question that I was going to ask you in the A side. Unfortunately, I've deleted it off my notes. I have to try and remember it in my head. I think I know what it was. So, again, I don't want your answer now. I want your answer in the C side when we do that. So, your break question this time, Dan, is imagine that Stoke Ramblers are still going. Instead of playing against another fans team, you get to play against today's Stoke 11 with, in your team, any fans of your choice or whatever. This time, you're the manager. Not only do you get to pick your own team and such, you get to pick one ex-retired Stoke player to play for you in the Stoke Ramblers against today's current Stoke team. So for you as a manager, how would you go about the game, and what ex-Stoke retired footballer would you sign to play for Stoke Ramblers for the one game? And again, I don't want your answer now. I want your answer after the break. And with that, that brings the B-side of File 41 to a close. Now, I must admit, I never thought that I would do a three-part file, I'll be honest. Certainly not one after the other anyway. I'm opening the invitation for anybody that's been on the podcast before and you want to do an update at any point, please just come back in, let me know. And we'll do, I guess, a B or C side, depending on how many parts you've done before. But yeah, I didn't expect to be doing three parts of a podcast in one go. But I mean, we heard how much Dan had to talk about, and I really enjoyed talking to him about them as well. And there's going to be more to come in the seaside as well. That will be released a few days after this B-side going live, so make sure you keep an eye on your podcast feeds for that. In the meantime, there's plenty of content in the back catalogue if you haven't listened to that already, including the A-side of this file. If you haven't listened to that, then I don't know what you're doing here, but okay, fine. Yeah, go back and listen to all them if you haven't done already while you're waiting for the next one. And it's just a reminder as well that this show relies on people like you to take part. You can head to the www.wowwowfiles.com and click get involved to find out more. You can send a message to @thewowwowfiles on social media or an email to thewowwowfiles@mail.com if you've got any questions. That just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and until the next one. But don't forget, it could be your file one day. Please need to support you.
This podcast is a proud member of the Fan Hub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with Fan Hub to put fans first. Search Fan Hub app to play your part in the journey.
Far away from the wild goose chase, my shoulder toss originally. You think I've been well?